Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
How do you feel now, Doug?
She has such a great voice, doesn't she?
It's a fella.
It's a fella.
Young kid. Billy Gilman?
Mm-hmm.
And he made on the show, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
I think he made the quarterfinals of the Voice or one of those 19 singing shows that are out there.
Billy Gilman bringing us back on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. On 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. I'm Charlie No Text Marlowe, filling in for Tim McKernan. We already talked with Jimmy the Cat Hayes, live from the winter meetings. We got Doug, we got Iggy, we got the Sea Monster, and the Rock Man, Matt Rocchio, filling in for the Plowhawk this morning.
Hello, Roxy.
A lot of texts coming in, Doug. Somebody saying, let's see, it's Cooking with Mike Kitchen, says, Doug, why are we sitting here on our hands when you can start calculating the Vaughn scores and finally sort out this mess for the Cards?
Well, I'll do that once the season begins. There's the Vaughn Index, you know, which a lot of teams use now as one of their primary analytics and judging players and team performance.
It's almost like Bill James at this point.
It's very similar. Like last year, the Cardinals, what, they finished 9 games behind the Cubs?
That's your opinion.
But based on runs scored, runs allowed, the Vaughn Index was right at 9 for the Cardinals.
Well, how about this? Because people are kind of pushing back on you, saying Carlos Martinez, 500 pitcher last year. Somebody texting in here, over the past 3 years, Martinez ranks 10th in wins, 14th in innings, 14th lowest home runs per 9, 9th in strand rate. You can explain that to me. 5th in ground ball
stranded
rate,
runners.
15th in ERA, and he's only 26. His best years are still ahead of him. He is an elite pitcher on an incredible contract. Then they say, suck it, Doug.
Okay. But he's a nice pitcher for sure. I don't think he's a big-time ace like a lot of teams have.
But he's at least a two, right? Would you not say?
Yes, sure he is.
You'd be really happy with Carlos Martinez as your number two starter.
Sure.
So what if Chris Archer, and we should look at the numbers to see actually the last couple years who's been better, but I think you're fine if Chris Archer and Carlos Martinez are at the front of your rotation. I don't care who's one and who's two. That's a nice one, too. There's a lot of teams in baseball that don't have two pitchers as good as those two.
Sure. That'd be good. And then where are you going to go from there? Weaver and Reyes and Wainwright and Waka?
Waka? Miles Michaelis?
Let me ask you this, because I'm a big Chris Archer fan. I have been since I 3 years ago saw him in the league and just I fell in love with the guy. He's such a good guy. Does a lot for charity. Had a chance to talk to him at Busch. Nice guy. I just told him that I enjoyed him a couple years ago on the playoffs.
Okay,
commentary.
You like him.
I did. But are we forgetting that 2 years ago, the guy lost 19 games? I mean, there's a reason for that. I'm not saying he sucks, but he did lose 19 games 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he wasn't great last year.
Maybe that's when he got so nice.
No, he's always been a nice
guy. He lost 19, figured it better be nice to hang around.
It would be weird if the characterization was that Archer was the ace and Martinez was his second. If that was the trade, because the numbers wouldn't back that up at all. Like Iggy's talking about Archer, 19 losses 2 years ago, 12 losses last year. He has over 4 ERA the past 2 years. Martinez, he had a bad year this year. We're characterizing his bad year. He had a 3.6 ERA, and Archer had back-to-back years with 4.0, so I think it'd be odd if Archer's the characterization of we need to get an ace better than Martinez, or I just don't know if Archer's a better pitcher than Carlos Martinez.
But it doesn't really matter who's the one and two. And you look at Archer.
But to Doug's point, are Chris Archer and Carlos Martinez, even maybe a couple of years down the road, does that compare even to, let's say, what the Indians have at the top of their rotation?
But you're feeling, okay, to say, like, compare it to a Kluber and some of the guys that the most elite teams have, no. But are you feeling really good about those two both pitching 200 innings, making 33 starts, and giving you really solid production? Yes, Chris Archer.
In the regular season.
Okay, but Chris Archer had 2 years where his ERA was just over 4 the last couple years. His career is still 3.63. So he's had some really good seasons. He's made 30-plus starts the last 4 years in a row. He's pitched at least 194 and two-thirds innings for the last four seasons. He's thrown over 200 innings for three straight years.
And he's got good enough stuff that he averages like 11, 12 strikeouts per nine.
He had 249 strikeouts last year in 201 innings. So, yeah, I'm feeling really good about Chris Archer. I don't care if he's the one. I don't care if he's the two. Again, it's more about I'd rather stack four twos. You know what I'm saying? And when you have a guy like Archer, if you have a guy like Carlos Martinez, Michael Wacha, Miles Michaelis, Luke Weaver, all of a sudden, you're feeling pretty good about that. Now, there's going to be injuries, of course, but you have depth. You have Flaherty waiting in the wings, who's probably going to be in the minors, and he can come up and make a spot start. You have Alex Reyes, who you'd think would start in the bullpen, but eventually this year, all of a sudden, could make 15, 16 starts. I mean, nowadays, you need to have seven or eight guys that you can rely on.
You're going
to
need that many. Somebody always gets hurt. A couple guys always get hurt. You're going to need that many. I don't know if that would be good enough. Maybe it would be. The year the Cardinals were a perennial elite at the top, they had borderline Hall of Famers in Chris Carpenter and Adam Wainwright pitching for them. And they don't have that now. They don't have the pitching that they had when they were the best team in the National League there over a 10 or 12 year span.
Here's what I think is interesting too. Last segment we were comparing Evan Longoria to Jed Jerko. Last year, Evan Longoria, who did win the Gold Glove at third base in the AL, and he's very, very good in terms of he's always on the field. I mean, he's played 160 games basically the last five seasons, very durable, entering his age 32 season. But he hit 20 homers, 86 RBIs, hit 261, 313 on base, 424 slug. Now, all those numbers down from the previous year. But when I read you those numbers, 261 average, 313 on base, 424 slug. And I think he can bounce back from that. But then you look at the numbers that Jed Jerko put up last year. And Jed Jerko, as I'm trying to get the page to load here, I believe he's 28. Last year was his age 28 season. So he's approaching his age 29 season. And last year for the Cardinals, he hit 272 with a 341 on base and a 472 slug. So his numbers across the board slash line were better than Evan Longoria's. And I think we all kind of just look at Jed Jerko like, he's just like a guy. But then you hear Evan Longoria, and don't get me wrong, the name is bigger, he's had bigger years in his career, and he's a Gold Glover at third base. But I do think, I don't know if the name right now lives up to what he'd be making, and also with what you have in comparison to Jed Jerko, who's actually pretty darn good.
Right. Yeah, he is. I don't think Evan Longoria is the big middle-of-the-order hitter that's going to transform the Cardinal lineup. I don't think other teams look around and say, uh-oh, when's Longoria coming up? We're going to have to change what we do with our pitching. He's a nice player, but he's not that transformative type of bat that they need.
Well, let's do remember the Cardinals said they're going to upgrade on defense. That's why I mentioned Hosmer, Gold Glove. You look at Longoria, Gold Glove. If you go out and you get a Yelich, I mean, that's what they're looking at, upgrading defense along with that.
You think both Hosmer and Longoria?
No, but those are the names. They both won Gold Gloves, and those are the names we're talking about.
I was hoping you were going to start talking about trading Matt Carpenter, which I'm 100% for.
Well, you know, I think in our podcast last week, I said I would be happy with going out and trading for Donaldson, signing Eric Hosmer, and then I said if you want to move Carpenter or Wong, go ahead.
Why do you want them to trade Matt Carpenter, man?
Well, because I mean, if you bring in Hosmer, then you have to move Carpenter to third base, and I never want to see him play third base again. And he wasn't that great of a first baseman either. And I think his hitting is nice, but he's just a if you're talking about replacing at the corners, first base and third base, getting better both hitters and guys who can be middle of the order bats and a better defenders, you just kind of move Carpenter out of those spots. And then I don't know where you put him.
I think in the podcast I said if that was to happen, then I think Toronto would probably entertain Wong and part of that deal for Donaldson, and then just move Carpenter to second base. Let's be honest. I mean, Carpenter at first base, he can barely catch balls that are thrown to him. I mean, it's not like making great play. I mean, just tosses to him, he has trouble catching.
Yeah, he's not the slickest first baseman they've ever had.
No, and he was he was terrible at third base.
I don't remember a whole lot of terrible plays. I don't think you'd say he was great at third base, but I don't remember him botching a lot of plays. He's got kind of an odd arm. He throws it kind of differently than most guys throw. But he usually got the job done. Not Scott Rolen, but he wasn't horrible there. don't you think?
No, I absolutely agree.
I think
with
he was horrible.
No, not at third. At first he was. At third, I think that's why he'd be fine at second base.
And also, Matt Carpenter, when he was making a couple All-Star games, his offensive value, there's much more there when you can be that super utility guy. And when you put Matt Carpenter's numbers at second base, especially second base, but also even third base, that's when you start to look at that and you say, okay, we're getting plus offensive production from positions where, especially at second, you're not normally getting that. But then you take a hitter like Matt Carpenter and you put him on first base, and all of a sudden, I mean, look at the All-Star voting every year, whether it's first base in the American League or the National League. When you start playing first base, 22 home runs or 27 and slugging 460 all of a sudden doesn't look as great when you're, you know, going up against guys who everybody's hitting 30 bombs and driving in 100 runs and slugging 500 plus, which is the case for a lot of first basemen.
I thought that's what made Carpenter valuable, is that you could plug him in anywhere. Somebody got hurt, somebody was slumping, you could move him around to a different position. And just putting him as a first baseman all the time lessened his value.
Hey, Elysium Restoration, Doug, specializing in basements, kitchens, bathrooms, and home additions. Elysium does quality work and has a track record of completing jobs on time and on budget. They work effectively with any budget, from basic remodels to your dream project. Plus, they do all this while hashtag PLTD, podcasting like the Dickens. Jason started with an idea and a pickup truck. Over the past 20 years, he's seen every type of job, and in that time, Elysium has consistently provided excellent work at a fair price. Jason and Ryan take care of their customers by being personally involved in all of Elysium's projects, and you can call them anytime. Get more info at www.erdstl.com. Elysium Restoration. Trust is one of the things they build well. Text line 855-282-8255. I have to say, some people are crushing you, Doug, and Iggy just for bringing up losses. They're not liking losses these days in determining starting pitchers.
Yeah, 19 losses is no big deal.
Yeah. Charlie doesn't care about win-loss record.
ERA over 4, doesn't matter.
Isn't that why you play to win the game? You play to win the game.
No, I just don't think you can put that stat out there as... It's an important stat, but you have to take into account the team he's playing on. I mean, you've seen guys that have an ERA of 3.9, they win 20 games. And you see a guy with the same ERA, and he goes 7-15 because he's getting no run support. All I'm saying is Archer
it's
Martinez.
It's the only stat that you look at.
You're feeling great. You're feeling great about those guys at the front end of your rotation. And are they as good as Kluber and...
Are they as good as the pitchers that the other major contenders have? No.
Okay, it's not Scherzer, Strasburg, but you're also comparing them to the most elite front ends in all of baseball.
No, that's who you're competing against.
That's the thing,
that's who you're trying to overtake.
Is this conversation just about the Cardinals, again, just being a playoff team, or is it about the Cardinals being a contender for a championship? If that's what we're talking about, then that's why I think Doug consistently keeps bringing up, is that good enough when you compare it to the other? You keep saying, you're comparing it to the top five or six teams. Well, that's who you have to match up against him to be successful.
So who are you going to get then? Are you going to get Max Scherzer? Are they going to trade Max Scherzer to the Cardinals? No.
Arrieta's out there.
Corey Kluber? No, I mean...
Arrieta's out there.
I would rather have Chris Archer than Jake Arrieta.
I would too, just for the age.
I don't know. That's about a toss-up.
So my point is...
You got to improve your pitching, I think, from where it is a lot.
So who's better than Chris Archer this year? Who can you actually get that's better than Chris Archer, that's available?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Everybody's available for the right price, probably.
But I don't think poo-pooing Chris Archer, though, where he might be the best arm.
Don't say poo-poo.
That's actually available.
I don't think we're poo-pooing Chris Archer necessarily. Sorry, Doug. I think it's that we're down on the positivity you have about if that's just the top two. Chris Archer's a fine pitcher. I like Chris Archer. I'd love if he was on the Cardinals. But if it's just, if the conversation is, are Chris Archer and Carlos Martinez enough to be like a World Series contender if at the top of your rank, I think that conversation there is Doug and I are saying no. And if it's a different conversation, then Chris Archer's a bad pitcher, but I don't think we're going that far.
Okay, but you're not just adding those pieces. We all know the Cardinals are going to get a bat. They already have picked up just a reliever, which is fine. Nobody's saying that that's all of a sudden going to put them over the top. They picked up a nice starting pitcher at a good value.
I think the Gregerson and Mikolas moves are fine when you talk about adding in, you know, filling in the spot that you need on the back end. But That's not the conversation we're having. This is all about the very top end of
okay.
your rotation.
But look at the Cubs. What move did they make starting pitching-wise? They picked up Tyler Chatwood, 3-year deal, a guy who has great numbers on the road. Is he that much better than Miles Michaelis? I mean, we'll see. But my point is, you know, they have Lester at the top of their rotation. You have to get what you can get this year. You're not going to get Corey Kluber this year. You're not going to get Steven Strasburg this year. I mean, there's a better opportunity that Alex Reyes, in my opinion, becomes that guy a year or two from now than actually ever getting that person.
Well, that could be, yeah. But unless you have those type of people at the top, you're probably not going to get there. You're probably not going to get to where you want to go.
Okay, but you
hardly anybody wins a pennant or wins a World Series without big stud pitchers at the top of the rotation.
Okay, so let's just say, and this is a pipe dream, and this would be a lot of activity. Let's say the Cardinals were able to get Chris Archer. So there's a starter. Alex Colome, there's your closer, right? And another bat. So they get, and let's just say it's Eric Hosmer. I don't know who it is. Eric Hosmer or Mike Moustakas. Somebody like that. Or Marcelo Zuna. You don't think that's a team that has a damn good shot to make the playoffs now in 2018? I'm not saying win the division, but to be a contender. You add the league leader in saves. You add at least a solid 200-inning number two starter in Chris Archer at the minimum. And you add a middle-of-the-order type bat, although it's not a Stanton, but a Hosmer, Moustakas, Ozuna. You're telling me to add that to the Cardinals team, that's not at least a wild-card team?
It would be a contender. They were a contender this year. They were three games out with a week to play with the team they had this year. They were in it until they tanked it there in the last week of the season.
I think that's a solid team to make the playoffs. It's also a really good team to lose in the first round.
But what move this offseason... I think everybody's saying, oh, well, we're not going to win the World Series.
I think there's also, you don't just
win the World Series every year.
Yeah, you can also be realistic that there's no move out there that moves them into that category this year, which is why I'm not saying don't make the move for Chris Archer. My point is that don't make the move for Chris Archer and say, well, now we got two borderline aces at the top of the rotation.
You're not excited
just
about
be realistic
Luke Weaver?
About it.
But you're not excited about Luke Weaver, what he could do?
Sure I am, but not. I'm not excited about what he's going to do in 2018. I'm excited
not at all.
About him having a solid season, but I don't think he's going to bust into the, you know, being a top three level pitcher.
Did you see his numbers at the end of this past year?
I did.
They were fantastic.
They were.
And I'm not saying he's making 30 starts.
Yeah, when you extrapolate that across the entire season.
Don't say extrapolate.
Or poo-poo.
I can't even say extrapolate.
Certainly not poo-poo.
Man,
no.
This is unbelievable, guys.
In the commercial break, he said preamble.
Yeah.
That's stop.
I can't say
that's
preamble
out.
Either.
Yeah,
absolutely
this is not,
not
the Constitution. This is a radio show. We're just trying to fill time.
You
here, okay?
Pretty much lose all credibility.
So I can't say posterity
like
either.
Borderline.
Posterity's borderline. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't forget Bartolo Colon's still out there too.
There you go, right there.
What is he?
Big Bart.
45.
Don't you love watching him pitch though?
Yes,
and
I do.
Hit.
Hugh Darvish is out there too. So
I don't.
Darvish and Arrieta
Darvish,
probably
man.
The only two guys you'd even think about as far as. Impact pitchers that are out there.
Darvish, you're thinking bad about him because he was bad in the World Series, but he's been a terrific pitcher.
He has.
I'm just saying, it seems like Darvish has an issue with tipping pitches, though, because every once in a while, you all of a sudden see the 10 spot where something happens where he's tipping and all of a sudden he gives up 9 earned.
Well, hopefully that's all that it is, because that's something that you would think you could fix.
Babe Ruth used to stick his tongue out when he was throwing a fastball.
How do you know that?
It was in the movie. That great William Bendix movie.
Oh, God.
There's so much real stuff in that one.
How about this in the text line, Doug? Yeah. White Collar Gangs just says, Charlie is running circles around you clowns.
Well, right, give us some examples, buddy.
I just did. Got an hour and a half in here.
You said he were running circles. I didn't hear any evidence of
White
that.
White Collar Gangsta.
Iggy just threw out Babe Ruth with his tongue out in the movie.
That's a good nugget.
Right.
He also hit a dog one time and missed a game, so he took it to the hospital.
In the movie or real life?
In the movie.
It doesn't matter. If it's in the movie, it must have happened, because that was a documentary.
It was William Bendix, who some people think is the worst Babe Ruth movie ever made. I think it's the best.
There hasn't been a good Babe Ruth movie made. No. How could people keep missing on that?
How many Babe Ruth movies have been made?
Oh, there's three or so. There's the one John Goodman made, Babe, which was just horrendous. Just
oh, come on.
Absolutely horrendous. The opening scene, he hits a pop-up. And he hits it so high, and they don't catch it. He's on third base when it dropped. Really?
What about when he's
in the...
That's
how it started?
He's in the hospital with the kid, the sick kid, and he says, the babe's going to sock you a home run.
Yeah.
He's eating a hot dog. Isn't he eating a hot dog in the clubhouse?
I'm so happy I've never seen this movie. This sounds terrible.
How have you never seen that?
When did it come out?
Oh, probably 92, 93.
And that's why I didn't see it.
But he was such an incredible character and lived such an unbelievable life. You'd think it would be a no-brainer that somebody could make a decent Babe Ruth movie at some point.
There is a book out there that I would suggest if you're a Babe Ruth fan to read. It's called The Big Bam, B-A-M. Fascinating book. And it's all true stories.
Mm-hmm.
Not like the William Bendix were. He hit a foul ball and hit his little kid's dog. And what was a dog doing down the third baseline, by the way?
Who knows?
And he picked it up and just walked off the field to the hospital.
They used to have camera people right by home plate. Have you ever seen those pictures where the still photographers are kneeling down like 5 feet away from home plate getting pictures?
They used to sit
You gotta be kidding me.
They used to sit in lawn chairs behind home plate. There was people would sit back there, the fans. There was lawn chairs right behind home plate, and they would sit there.
Really? I haven't
back
seen
in the
those pictures.
Teens and 20s.
And then for a while, they didn't even bother to bring the gloves in from the outfield.
They just left it for the other player.
Leave it down there in the outfield.
No, that's because the other players would use them. They would borrow each other's gloves. They only had one per team, so they would just throw it down there, and the other player would come out and use that glove.
And you would think they would trip over it occasionally? You're just going to throw your glove in the outfield to the next guy?
How would you trip over it? The inning's over, they put it down, and then the next player, the other team comes out and uses the glove.
What if you're the right fielder and you're a righty, but their right fielder's a lefty?
Great question.
Turn it around. That's all you can do.
I'm not sure they left it for the other player or if they just left it there because they were coming back and the other guy would have his own glove.
They were coming back.
I think that's what it was.
I don't even think there were...
I'm coming back. I'm going to play next, Danny. I'll just leave it here.
I don't even think there was a thumb in that glove. I think there were only like four fingers in those gloves. They're like potato chip gloves.
Mordecai, what, three fingers
brown? Sure, he lost two of them.
Doug, text line 855-282-8255. Speaking of Big Bat, what do you think about adding Rafael Palmeiro? We're talking a... No, think about it.
He's 53.
Don't look at it like that.
53.
You're adding a 500 homer, 3,000 hit guy to the middle of that lineup.
Who did not take steroids.
And he wagged his finger.
Right.
And he's fresh. He hasn't played in a few years, so his legs are fresh.
Fresh legs.
Yeah.
He's serious about this, too. I mean, what is he doing?
Nobody. He'll go play in Japan somewhere or something.
No, he won't.
Nobody's signing him.
He'll be playing independent league ball.
You bring Ozzie Smith back. He's only 61 or so, 60, 61. Yeah, I don't think Palmeiro's got a shot.
Hey, Lena's Pizza has earned Plowboy's seal of approval and is the rage on the fan page. I had my first Lena's Pizza a couple weeks ago, and it was fantastic.
I haven't had one yet.
You need to get one.
Yeah,
they're really good.
I've heard that.
Many of you have family coming back home for the holidays, and they're sure to be excited about enjoying food items unique to St. Louis, Doug, like toasted raviolis, Ted Drew's, and of course, Za, made with Provel cheese. Do you like it when it's called Za?
Not really. I think you got more time than that.
Lena's Pizza, or Za, has been flying off store shelves, so stock up before hungry relatives raid your refrigerator later this month. Frozen pizza has never tasted this good before, so if you haven't tried Lena's yet, then I sincerely suggest that you should, like Plowsy says.
Nummy, quote, nummy, nummy. Lena.
That's Lena's
That's
pizza, Doug. How about that audio drop right in the middle of the live read?
It was nice.
I wasn't expecting that, but it really added to it. That's fantastic.
I was thinking about Doug last night. I was watching Family Guy, and they always do those cutaways in the Family Guy, and they cut away to Norm MacDonald reading a Christmas story, and he goes, "What is this, Twas the Night Before Christmas? What is Twas?" And then I thought of you because he goes, "What, you don't have enough time to say it was the night before Christmas? You got to say Twas?
Right.
You got plenty of time." I'm thinking, oh my God, they're stealing the show.
I think they were matching the syllables for the rhyme, probably.
What do you feel about betwixt?
I don't like betwixt at all. Or between.
You can't even say between?
Betwixt or between. And that's about the only time betwixt ever comes up, isn't it?
What about amongst?
I'm okay with amongst.
All great questions. Hey, we have some more fun with audio.
Tell you what I'm not okay with.
What's that? What?
People say, oh, I was caught unawares with an S on the end of it. Wouldn't you just say I was caught unaware? Why do you say I was caught unawares?
I've never heard anyone say unawares.
That's what they say.
Who's they?
The people who use these kind of words.
Hoosiers?
Yes.
Hoosiers.
No, I think that's the proper way to say it. He was caught unawares.
I've never heard anyone say that.
Well, pay attention.
Wow. Well, how about you pay attention to Mike Francesa? All because right. Not only did he have a hot take on the Stanton trade not going to happen to the Yankees, even though it did, Mike also has a pretty nice snowblower
I can do rows and really fast because I'm good with my snowball. Because I use my snowball all the time. I love my snowball.
I'm not big into manual labor. So.
I love the snowball. I love to do my driveway with the snowball. It's one of my favorite things to get a lot of snow and do the snowblower. I have a great, great snowblower.
I would like to see.
I don't know what the
make
is. I don't know what the make is, but it's a great machine. It really is. It's powerful. It shoot that stuff a mile. You know, I don't know the make. I tried to remember last time what the make is, and I got it wrong. But it's a great snowblower. It's a great machine.
Okay.
Who's the chick?
I don't know.
I've never heard a girl on a show.
No. I don't know. You guys have snowblowers?
We almost don't need it here.
We almost don't need it here anymore.
I'd like to know what he was shooting a mile.
The snow.
It's interesting, too, because Mike Francesa, we've heard, he doesn't do anything domestic, remember, in terms of cooking Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah. But he does seem to get outdoors and kind of do the yard work.
Well, I think that's pretty common.
The guy stuff?
Yeah.
That's kind of how our family
operates. You wouldn't ask your wife to go do the snow blowing, would you?
No.
I'm sure he has somebody that does it. I can't see Francesa out there blowing snow.
Well, he says he loves to do it.
Well, I think he lied.
I can't see Charlie doing it either with his rich person phone. Orders up a nice snowblowing service.
I do all my own yard work. That's all the workout I get these days. There's something satisfying, though, about doing your own yard work. No, I'm not saying...
Gold's Gym, everybody.
Gold's Gym's fantastic. I do go there about once or twice a week, every once in a while, when I'm very motivated.
Even
but
cutting the grass can be satisfying.
That's what I'm saying. Right. I mean, if you have the time... Now, if you're super busy, I get it. But if you have the time to do it, there's something satisfying about cutting your own grass... Or doing your leaves, and then you can kind of look at your house afterwards and feel the job well done.
What's the etiquette on leaves in the snow when you live in a four apartment duplex?
Do you have to do them? Or does your owner?
I believe
your
so,
owner,
yes. So somebody's got to do it. So what's
the owner of the place doesn't do that?
I don't think so.
You're a renter and you're supposed to do...
I think so,
well,
yeah.
I guess you probably are.
So you just got to do like a rotation. If I see somebody else do it, I just got to pick up and do it the next time? Is that the etiquette there?
Not if you're renting. I rent. I've never done any of that.
I don't think you should have to do that.
I work in my garden, but I don't shovel snow.
An apartment complex is different than a duplex. Because a duplex looks kind of like a house, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you got a yard and everything.
But you still have a landlord.
But there's still, you know, yeah, we still have a landlord, and there's like four different people who live there. We're not, you know, but if you don't know each other.
But if you rent a house, the landlord doesn't come and cut the grass and shovel the snow for you. They don't do that. That's on you.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the agreement.
It was in the lease the tenants are responsible for snow and leaves, so I'm wondering what the protocol is.
I've rented houses.
As we talk about snowblowers.
I've rented houses before. I always had to cut the grass and shovel the snow. The guy's not going to come over and do that for you.
But that's got to be bargained. I'm cutting the grass. Yeah, you're way ahead. Your season's ahead of me there, Doug.
I think that needs to be negotiated. If you're staying in a condo complex or an apartment complex, you're not doing your yard. So why should it be different if you're renting a house?
It is, though.
Okay, but I'm saying then you should get some compensation relief there. If you're going out and doing all that.
Good luck with that. What you think, you really think the landlord who might own three or four houses is gonna come and shovel your driveway and cut your grass and bag your leaves?
That's not what Chuck is saying. He's saying that should be negotiated that okay, if I'm gonna cut the grass around here, even though I'm renting, you're taking $50 off a month or whatever.
But they're not going to do that. They're going to say, okay, if you don't want it, that's what renting a house
is. My landlord
is.
Did when I lived on Utah way back in the day. It was a two-family flat. That's what it's called, a two-family flat.
I don't like that. There's no reason for it.
Dean.
This is in Britain. Come on.
Pat Dean from Dick Dean Volkswagen lived downstairs. I lived upstairs. And we negotiated that he took, I think, $25 off a month. Not a lot. If we cut the backyard. And the backyard was no bigger than this table. It was the littlest backyard. We could have cut it with a weed whacker. But he took rent off if we cut the grass.
Well, I know for most houses that you rent, that's not part of the deal. It's going to be this price of maybe $1,000 a month to rent this house, and you got to do the yard work, leaves, grass, whatever.
Text line, if you live in a multi-unit building, the landlord should take care of it. If it's a house, it's on you.
Well, it's definitely on you if it's a house.
Okay, but you could also have... a landlord who owns several houses, and then that person has a grass cutting service that will come and do all
but
of his properties.
But they're not going to. They're just not going to. If you don't like that, then don't rent that house.
All I'm saying is, and then you have apartment complexes or condos where you're paying the HOA dues per month as well. But I'm saying, I think that should be negotiated into the price if you're having to do all your own yard.
Well, anything's negotiable if you're if he's desperate enough to rent you the house, you could say, knock $50 or $100 off because I'm going to do the yard work, and they'll laugh at you and say, forget it, I'll get somebody else to rent it. I mean, you buy the house, you take a mortgage, you expect the bank to come over and cut your grass for you because they own it?
That's different. Because you own, even though technically the bank owns it, you own that unit. Whereas when you're renting, first of all, if you're renting that, why wouldn't you just be a, if you don't care that much, then just don't do any of it. It's on the landlord.
See, I'm trying not to be that
No, I understand that, but okay, so if you're the landlord and you rent out to somebody, I mean, do you stipulate in the lease, this guy has to do the grass? Because look, if this person all of a sudden lets his grass grow 8 feet and he pisses off the neighbors with the leaves and the snow, who's it on? It's not on the renter. It's on the landlord. He's going to be the one that's going to be, if there's a complaint, if the city complains, all of a sudden you have, you have a nuisance yard and there's things going on. They're not going to complain to the renter.
I don't remember exactly what was in my lease agreement the last time I rented house, and I've done it twice, but it was always understood that I had to do the yard work.
But what I'm saying, though, is if that renter didn't, they're coming to the owner. They're not coming to the renter for penalties.
I guess you could evict the guy.
But you don't want to because you want his money.
No, but
so you're going to cut the grass.
Well, if he's not going to live up to what you take care of this
house,
don't
get evicted people don't get evicted for real things because of how tough it is to actually go through the eviction process. You're not getting somebody evicted because they're not doing the yard work. And my bigger question was just trying to be a decent person or not. Fisher, worry about that. Does it make me a bad person if I don't do it?
Text line, why is Doug pro floodlord?
I'm young. I can walk over snow.
You should do your share, though.
So if I see it like the first time it snows and all of a sudden it's shoveled very cleanly, the next time it snows, I should probably just have some agency and do it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody there has got a snow shovel, so just say, hey, can I borrow your snow shovel, fellow? And they'll probably be happy to hand it to you.
Doug, why are you pro slumlord, according to the text line?
Well, you think you can rent somebody's house and just let it completely go? You can't.
How about this? 10 years ago, according to Taylor Erickson, he says, 10 years ago, I rented a house in Kirkwood. Landlord had 5 other homes, and he had a lawn cutting service.
Hmm. Well, then that was part of the deal on that particular house. But the houses I've rented, I had to cut the grass. If he was desperate and couldn't rent it to anybody else, maybe he would have said, okay, I'll cut the grass for you. But I think it's probably a house-by-house basis.
Well, you didn't even try.
I didn't even consider it.
You could have at least tried. Hey, you got in the grass?
I'm not that lazy. Well, I had a lawnmower. This is my house.
Well, don't poo-poo it if you had never tried it.
Don't say poo-poo.
At least try it. Maybe he'll say yes.
You know, I think you should start having to give alternatives. When you tell people not to say stuff, I think built into that, you should have to build in alternatives.
It's just more or less a veto power.
Okay. So you're not being constructive?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm just telling you what you can and can't say based on my personal wants and desires.
Hey, one more Mike Francesa clip before we also have some solid audio because Sea Monster, I think he's not appreciating the direction of the program this morning because he's starting to text me. That's when you know he's really bothered. But let's wrap up the Mike Francesa first, Doug. Kylan Edison, you know him. He had a really weird question for Mike. I'm guessing it wasn't yesterday. That's what it says in the paper, but probably sometime recently.
Kylan Edison, what's up, Kyle?
How are you, Mike?
Good. What's happening?
Oh, good. This has been bugging me all morning. If it takes 3 hours for me to paint a house, and it takes you 5 hours to paint the same house, how long would it take us to paint it together?
You know what, Kyle? Whatever you've been drinking this morning, stop. Please, whatever it is. Thanks for the call. Dan in Boston, what's up, Dan?
Solid question.
Isn't that 3 + 5/3 × 5? Get you the answer?
That guy was helping his third grader do math homework the night before the show and just got a great idea for a call.
Wasn't that problem in Little Big League?
That problem was on every test I had for like 5 years.
Yeah.
I wonder what he charges for a remote. It sounded like he was out and about there.
It sure did, yeah.
Hey, Mike Francesa, Doug, we have the 3 clips, but then we also have Richard Deitch, and he apparently got the full Francesa experience last week as part of his SI Media podcast.
in the Barrett interview, again, which was really well done, I thought, by both of you guys, you talked about, for you over the years, who you thought were guests that really stood out. George Young, the late George Young, was an incredible guest in the early days for you. David Stern always gave it back to you and Chris, which was great radio. In the more sort of current realm, Mike, the last, like, 10, 15 years, what guests for you have stood out and why?
You know, I mentioned Stern and George Young because they were so curmudgeonly and they brought a great personality to the show without any question. In recent years, if I was going to give you someone that has really stood out as a guest in recent years, who would it be?
Stalling here.
You know, it just shows you no one, you know, most of the guys I'm thinking of come earlier in my time. So,
yeah, no one.
He's on the radio for what?
Five hours of phone calls
for the last 45 years. But you know what?
No.
If that question was asked to you and you're thinking like, what is the best interview I've done recently?
I'd give the same answer.
It really isn't that many.
Yeah, a lot of them have really been terrific.
I think he's just mailed it in for the last year. He knows he's going. And I know guys that don't want good guests because then they have to do some research. And they'd rather just talk to a beat writer or take calls for 5 hours instead of actually having to work on a guest.
How about this, though? Speaking of great guests on the Midday Grind, great show here on 590. It's a 12 to 1.
That's the coveted time.
The coveted hour, 12 to 1. Martin Kilcoyne, myself, Gardy Gardner, and Iggy coerced Martin via text.
No, I don't like that word, coerced.
Well, I don't write it.
I just asked.
So Iggy asked Martin to ask a question to a fantastic guest when we had Joe Buck on the other day.
I wasn't happy with his answer either.
Joe, great to talk to you. Have fun in L.A. this weekend. We'll be watching the game on Fox. Oh, by the way, Iggy wanted me to know if Lady Gaga was the best halftime show ever. These are final notes here on this visit.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that a real question?
No, Iggy. No, I swear to Iggy. Iggy actually, he's on a smoke break, and he texted me, "Was Gaga the best halftime show ever?" I'm assuming that was for you and not me.
The best halftime show. I was doing the game, and when I'm doing the game, that's my own smoke break, even though I don't smoke. So I kind of wander around the back of the booth and kind of take a break. So for me to say that I was watching every moment of that would be a lie. My daughters loved it. I'm sure my daughters and Iggy have similar tastes in a lot of things. So they thought it was great.
That's very, very true.
You didn't like that answer, Iggy?
I don't appreciate that.
Why?
He's basically saying that I like chick music. I guess I like Taylor Swift and...
Well, that's
Megan
okay.
Megan Trainor too.
You like what you like.
Yeah, but then he
can't let somebody bully you out of liking the music that you enjoy.
And then he texted me afterward and said, "Ha ha ha."
Oh, he didn't want to get on your bad side.
No, I said, "You're funny, buddy."
You could take down a guy like that if you got on your bad side.
I couldn't take anybody down.
Doug, though, speaking of bullying, how about our guy Keaton, a little boy from Tennessee,
right?
He puts what his mom puts the bullying video. Mm-hmm. On social media,
right?
And you feel for this kid, and he's crying, and then all of a sudden, the social media world responds, and you got actors, Chris Evans inviting him to the Avengers premiere, Kelly Chase invited him, I think, to a Blues game.
Sean Hannity. J.R. Smith invited him to a Cavs game.
I saw Sean Hannity offered $10,000 to set up some fun for him.
That's pretty cool.
Giving him 10 grand.
It breaks your heart when you see that, but it's great to see the response after that. If people don't know what I'm talking about, this young boy, his name is Keaton, and I believe his mom put about a minute plus video on Twitter, and he was crying, saying he was being bullied, and the kid said he had a big nose, and they're mean to him. It was very sad.
Looks like you'll be seeing him on a college game day next year as well.
Kirk Herbstreit also
invited him as well.
Mm-hmm. Invited him.
Well, that's good because it gives the kids some confidence that, you know, people do like me and... You know, it helps. It doesn't, it needs more than that. But I remember 2 years ago, I think it was in London, and I actually cried when I saw this. It was a picture next to each other of a guy, kind of a heavy set guy, dancing and just having a good time smiling. And then the picture next to him was him like standing over in the corner ready to cry because these people were making fun of him, calling him, look at this big fat idiot dancing. Why don't you get a life? And it makes you cry, and everybody stepped up. There was a couple of female actresses that put a woman's group together and had their own dance, invited them to Los Angeles to have a dance party.
Mm-hmm.
So people, it's cool to see people step up like that, but, you know, some people don't get the chance and they do stuff to themselves after this before people get a chance to step up and say, hey, don't worry about these people. But it does break your heart when you see that happen.
Yeah, people can be very cruel, especially kids, that middle school era, early high school years. That's when people seem to really be cruel to one another in the extreme.
Well, we were just talking about August Ames last week.
Yeah.
What happened to her?
You guys, on another subject, you see the video of the...
You don't want to talk about August Ames more?
Oh, well, we kind of covered that.
All right.
See the video of the policeman who shot the guy crawling in the hallway of the hotel? God. Was that the worst thing you've ever seen?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't... I couldn't talk after I saw that. I don't know what the guy did. Nothing.
And he got off on that.
I don't know how there's not one juror who hangs that entire thing by just being like, no, I'm not. How are you going to say not guilty on this one? Like, look at the video. I don't know how that happened.
I mean, you scared the hell out of the guy. Every time he moved like you told him to, you started screaming at him and said, I'm going to kill you if you put your hands down one more time. I mean, this guy was probably shaking. And he didn't do anything.
Try crawling with your hands, your feet locked behind you, your hands up, and then crawl. See how well you see if it's actually physically possible to pull this off, because it's not at all, especially when you're drunk.
Well, what I don't understand is, and I saw the video, and then I kind of read what the jurors were thinking and why he was not guilty, but you had his hands behind his head, you had his legs interlocked, you had another guy there, you had the gun on him. Why don't you just walk up to him and put the handcuffs on him and it's over?
Right.
Why did he have to crawl towards you? Why don't you just go put the handcuffs on him? He wasn't doing anything.
And he tried to explain to the guy that I don't have a gun, but he wouldn't let him talk either.
More than that, you listen to the cop giving the orders. Don't tell me that guy has fear in his voice. Don't tell me he's scared at that moment. Are you kidding me? The kid's bawling his eyes out and you have a gun pointed at his head and you're the one who's fearful at that point. I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the worst one I've seen yet, I think.
Hey, Blues analyst Kelly Chase joins us weekly on Thursday mornings, guys, fueled by Petromart. We're going to talk with Cam Jansen at 9, discussing Blues hockey and the weekend that was. But Kelly Chase on Thursdays, brought to you by Petromart. Start all your pregame festivities at Petromart, a proud sponsor of your St. Louis Blues and a proud supplier of Phillips 66 gasoline. Not only can you fill up on gas when you stop at one of Petromart's stores, you can fill up your stomach too, Doug. They offer a wide selection of food, drink, and other goodies to satisfy you and your family. Petromart, clean, fast, and friendly. We have some more fun with audio. NFL, though, yesterday. I know some people are down on the NFL and don't want to watch. Two fantastic games. If you watched Eagles, Rams, and terrible news, we'll probably know more, but the fear is that Carson Wentz, who was probably your NFL MVP, could have torn his ACL, stayed in there, and still threw a touchdown pass. That dude is amazing. And then it seems like every week, the Steelers, they're falling behind, whatever it is, 10, 17 points. The Steelers, to me, are the most fun team to watch in football. I know the Patriots also put up a lot of points. They do it kind of differently with their offensive scheme. When you watch the Steelers and that offense, and I know they made a lot of fantasy football, you know, playoff owners last night really happy.
Wasn't enough for me.
I noticed that.
I had Roethlisberger. Wasn't enough for me.
500 yards wasn't enough?
Right. Nope. Well, I had two players who scored exactly 0 points. Zero!
What happened to your squad?
I made a horrible trade because I was desperate for a running back.
And you're talking about the trade with me, correct?
Right. Adam Thielen for Matt Forte. Forte had one big game. I lost Elliott. I had no running backs.
A fleece job, Marlo.
Listen,
when that trade happened, I thought there was going to be pushback from the league. This is the radio league, the Inside STL league.
That was a Patriots move right there.
I sent trade proposals out to almost everybody in the league. I just wanted a receiver. I was asking for a different receiver. Matt Forte had just had a couple really good games. Doug vetoed my trade, and then he sent back to me, I didn't even ask for this, Adam Thielen, straight up for Matt Forte. And I pressed accept so quick, and I thought it was going to get vetoed. And I thought everybody's, oh, Charlie, you and Doug are colluding. Like, I didn't propose that trade.
First, you sent me, yes, you did. You proposed Thielen for a tight end.
Jack Doyle was really, really good.
I didn't need a tight end.
Jack Doyle had a touchdown yesterday.
but I didn't need him. And I was, for some reason, I don't care much about the fantasy this year. I don't know. Usually I'm really into it.
No, when people,
I'm really into it this year.
My brother.
And I had Elliott on suspension, and I had no running backs.
But that's your fault.
You drafted him high. I didn't say it wasn't. I said that was a situation I was in. So I was desperate for a running back, and I thought Forte was the best running back you had. So I said, I got to have a runner.
Well, I do have LeSean McCoy, but I wasn't going to trade him.
I figured you wouldn't.
But don't give me the whole, because growing up, my older brother used to do this. We would play sports and all that. When he'd beat me, he was trying. When I beat him, I wasn't trying.
He probably wasn't.
Doug, you are. You're one of the best fantasy guys, football and baseball. I mean that in all seriousness. When you play Doug Vaughn in a league, he takes it seriously, and you always have a really good team. You win a lot of the leagues. This year, your squadron was lacking. Don't give me the whole, I'm not trying.
My squadron was 7-3 until I made that trade. And if I hadn't made that trade, I'd have been 9-3 after that. I would have won the next two games after that.
But you also took a pretty good gamble on Ezekiel Elliott.
For some reason, that trade came across, and I just said, okay, whatever.
It was really a moment of weakness.
Because it's not a trade you would make if you were really locked in.
Oh, no. I just looked up Matt Forte's last three games.
No, last week he was really good.
Yeah, he's been decent.
This week he did nothing again.
PPR league too, folks, just so you know. He catches a lot of passes out of the backfield.
Yeah.
It's not that terrible on paper.
Yeah, he had a touchdown last week. I guess that really saved him.
He had like 24 points last week.
He had 80 yards and a touchdown with three catches.
And I know people hate hearing about other people's fantasy teams, but I bet you there were a lot of guys. No, this is first week of fantasy playoffs. There's a lot of people that play, and there's a decent amount of money on the line in these leagues. And I promise you, there were a lot of teams where probably their last guy was last night. Now, maybe they have somebody in Monday Night Football, but you're needing Ben Roethlisberger to give you a ridiculous game, or mm-hmm. Le'Veon Bell, or Antonio Brown, and they all did that. I mean, Roethlisberger threw for 506 yards and two touchdowns. Le'Veon Bell had three touchdowns total. Antonio Brown, what did he have, over 200 yards receiving? I mean, all those guys went off. That was a really, really fun game to watch.
Mm-hmm. Steelers always seem to find a way to win. Did you just say this? He threw for over 500 yards. Third time in his career, he's thrown over 500 yards.
The first quarterback to do that. 44. Yeah.
66 times
66
he threw the ball last night.
Passing.
66 times.
Antonio Brown had 11 catches for 213. Le'Veon Bell, as a running back, had 9 catches for 77.
That's unheard of when you have a running back like Bell, that you throw the ball 66 times.
Oof. And then they got close to a touchdown there in the fourth quarter. I thought, I'm going to get another 6 or 7 points from Roethlisberger. Then he hands it off to Bell, and he runs 19 yards for the score. And I'm saying, stop him! Tackle him! Get a body on him! Get a helmet on him! Nope. Touchdown.
I did the same thing yesterday. And this is where, when people say the NFL is dead and all that, even though my fandom for the NFL has gone down a ton, obviously since the Rams left, so many people play fantasy, so many people gamble, and that's why you're still watching. I did the same thing yesterday where in another league, I have Alex Collins, the running back for the Ravens, and he had a really good game. He had a touchdown. He was over 100 yards, but there were two goal line plays. One, they set up in the I formation from like the inch line. I formation, inch line. Alex Collins is the deep back. Javorius Buck Allen somehow is now a fullback. He's like Mike Alstott, apparently. And they hand the ball to Buck Allen for the one-inch touchdown. And I honestly almost threw something in my house.
Yeah, I can imagine you would. A couple years ago, I jumped up and down happy when Pedro Alvarez hit a home run to beat the Cardinals, and my kids were so disappointed in me. I hit Alvarez, of course. He hit like a ninth-inning home run to beat the Cardinals, and I was just thrilled.
Well, fantasy comes before.
Just to win a fantasy game.
Fantasy comes before rooting for your home team.
Yeah, I guess it did that day for me.
But it's the money part.
I was ashamed of myself.
The money comes before your team.
Sure.
If you were playing fantasy for nothing, you probably wouldn't
care. Yeah, wouldn't care. Right?
Well, who would pay fantasy for nothing?
It's all about the cash.
Kind of boring.
I play fantasy for cash and still barely care. I don't know how I do it, but I do. I wish I cared about fantasy. I can't get into it, though. I don't know why.
No, it's the same
football
with betting.
Football or baseball?
I definitely can't get into baseball. I even can't get into football fantasy anymore. I don't know why. I'm in two leagues right now, both of them for money. I haven't checked either of the teams in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Sometimes I kind of go in phases like that too, where it's I'm really into it, and then it's I don't care. When you start to fall off a bit, when you think you don't have a chance to win, that's when you say I don't care.
I thought I had 6 really good bets yesterday, so much so that I put them on Twitter. Normally I don't, but I did yesterday. I felt really good about these 6.
How many did you lose?
I went 3-3. Cincinnati, I love -6. Oh, how does Lewis still have a job?
I don't know.
He's got to be gone.
How did Hugh Jackson get retained from Cleveland for another year?
I don't know.
They almost won.
I mean, I love Seattle. I thought Seattle would beat Jacksonville. I know Jacksonville has a good defense, but I thought Seattle, like, nope. I had Green Bay. Thank God it was -3, and they scored a touchdown in overtime.
There was like three.
How about the scene from the end of the Seattle-Jacksonville game with the drinks being thrown from the stands and Jefferson almost makes a run at the stands from the field, which you haven't seen on an NFL field in quite some time?
What's crazy about
that was insane.
What's crazy about that is, so you have this NFL football player who's probably 300-plus pounds,
easy,
right?
Oh, yeah.
And he goes out to the stands, and, you know, the stands are elevated, so he's talking smack to the fan. Where this fan, in any other setting in his life, if this is a bar, if this is the grocery store...
Also,
if
you have the guy who threw it was like four rows back, so there's like right. 20 people in between them as well.
But if you have an argument, this guy is going to cower and run away like a scared little baby. But because he knew it was a game, the guy couldn't get to him, he had security there... He's talking smack to this 325-pound NFL player where if that same interaction happened at a bar, this guy would get thrown through the window.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is just sitting here talking smack to the 300-pound lineman.
There's a gif out there of the look on the guy's face who threw the drink at Ryan Artest. When Artest actually breaks into the stands, the look on the guy's face, utter and pure terror and regret.
The malice at the palace.
Yeah, well, why would fans think that you can... say some of the things they say to players.
They're hammered.
Saying's one thing. Once you start physically throwing stuff at people.
Shouldn't do either.
Well, you're hoping they hit you because then you'll sue. And they're millionaires, so.
Yeah.
Doug, how about this? Rudy the Flyer texting in. Just curious, after all this talk about the football game last night, are you guys going to talk to Cam in 10 minutes and pretend like you watched the Blues? But Doug, you were there last night for the game. I was going back and forth between Blues and football.
I saw most of the... Second two periods.
Yeah, I didn't even know they played.
So there you go. Cam Jansen coming up next, talking Blues hockey, breaking it all down for you. A lot of baseball conversation the first couple hours, and we still have the best fun with audio. Sea Monster texted me. That's why I know it's good. We saved it. It's a surfer bro, Doug, a surfer bro, breaking it down, coming up next.
All right.
And Cam Jansen talking Blues on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.